Welcome back. Visit Julian podcast. So I'm going to be my ironic self and say, oh, I'm excited. I'm always excited. This has just been such a great adventure for Julian and for those who love to visit, to get to learn more about the Julian businesses, where they started, why they're amazing. And this podcast is absolutely no exception. I'm here with Yesenia from Julian. Okay. See, and I was so, you say it.
Juliantla chocolate.
Juliantla chocolate. And I guess I say it is Julianta chocolate. So that kind of makes sense. She says it in this with the Spanish accent. I say it with the not Spanish accent. But it gets you the right information. This is a great little store. Obviously, the name gives it away, chocolate. But I think there's a lot more to your store than chocolate. And she's located in the KO Corral on B Street. And we've interviewed, I think, just about everybody in the KO Corral so far. So she's next to Blue Door Winery, Crow and Lilac, the Art Gallery. What else am I missing? I know Moonshine Magic's moving in there.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So it's a really good location. It is a good location in the sense that it's easy to get walk there. And when people stop by Town Hall here, I talk about, you know, places to go. And, you know, you're just one block up, so people can foot power it right to your shop.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us about what you do at the store. Obviously chocolate, you can please elaborate on that and then talk about other things that you offer.
Of course. Well, the original idea was to focus a lot on chocolate, but I get so excited and I just want to make more stuff and new stuff. And I always change it up. But right now, yeah, you can come on in and see lots of chocolate. We make our own chocolate bars. But we also have other desserts like macarons, cupcakes. We make custom cakes if you want to put in an order and we'll customize a cake for you. And we even have, like, they're a little random, like, cute gifts, like dessert themed soaps.
Oh, that's great.
And dessert themed candles. So it's just a little bit of everything, but I just think that it's just cute.
It is.
Like,
it's
my theme is
cute.
Just like make it cute and chocolate and sweet. And yeah, we kind of always just are adding new things.
It's a precious little store. And one of the ways that you know it's a precious little store, and for those who are listening, also for you, Yesenia, I put in the show notes a link to Instagram, link to your Facebook, all that stuff. And I know on Instagram you're always posting, oh, probably TikTok too, totally cute videos of your store with cute music in the background. And it really showcases, you know, all the great stuff. And what a cute store you have. Like, it's colorful, but it's not overwhelmingly colorful. Like, it's not all this bright primary color stuff. It's just sweet. And like, I think it's a place is when someone walks in, they probably immediately smile, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. When customers walk in, we hear this all day long when we're open. On, like, it could just any day when customers come in, the first thing they say, oh my God, it's so cute in here.
Yeah.
And I love hearing it. Yeah. It doesn't get old because I really did take my time picking all the colors, picking, you know, I carefully curate what I want in the store. I don't just put random stuff in there.
Right.
Everything has, like, thought to it.
Sure.
So I really appreciate when people walk in there and they're just amazed at how cute it is.
Yeah, because that's all your effort. That's your life's work. And so for people to appreciate it, I think that's awesome. Yeah. Yes. And I know you're sort of famous for your amazing cakes. People talk about your cakes all the time. You know, locals here are very active on a couple of community-based groups. And whenever someone puts out, oh, I need a cake for this, I need a cake for that, I mean, I'm sure you already know, you get tagged. You get tagged because you do a really great job. And we'll put some photos up of some of the cakes that you have on our slideshow. And what does it take to get a cake? And correct me if I'm wrong, I see most of the cakes you make are pretty small. I don't think someone's going to order and please correct me if I'm wrong, because that'll be good. Like a sheet cake from you.
Okay, so I actually do, I do quarter sheet cakes. The easiest way to ever submit an order is on my website.
Okay.
I made my website so that it's really easy to just choose the size, flavor, the color you want it, submit it, and I'll deliver it to you the day. Well, I'll be out there for pickup for whenever you order it for. But yes, most of the cakes that we get, most of the orders we get, mm-hmm. they're usually on the smaller mm-hmm. size, you know, just like for birthdays, mm-hmm. you know, smaller ones. But we also do wedding cakes.
Oh, because you can stack those.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, and it ranges from the smallest one is a mini 4-inch cake. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest one we have is a 10-inch cake.
Mm-hmm. So in the wedding, this is, you know, me as a layman asking you, in the wedding cake genre, then you take the 10-inch at the bottom and then the next size.
Eight,
and
six.
And then four. Yeah. Right.
However, though, for weddings, we do make a lot of. For weddings, it's like a whole different show. Right. So we can do up to 14 inches for weddings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. And I think the other cool thing, just based on what I've seen on your cakes and then the trends these days, is they could kind of, if they wanted to, do each layer, like this 10, 8, 6, 4, something different to represent them as a couple or something.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I just did one where it was a groom's cake and then a wedding cake. The groom's cake was like a dark blue, mm-hmm. and then the wedding cake had like spring flowers on it.
You can adapt to, because people are doing, and people are making an effort to do things unique and different for their weddings so that they're memorable. So it'd be nice to know that there's a cake maker, cake baker, cake extraordinaire, they can help them reach the goal to make a cake that really represents them.
Yeah,
and I see that you're amazing. There's this one I keep seeing in my head. I'm going to make sure I put it on there. It's like this chocolate cake with like, it seems like it had a gold ribbon around it. That's in my head.
Oh, yeah. That was a tiramisu-inspired cake. Uh-huh. It's not actually tiramisu because you can't really stack tiramisu.
Sure, because like, it's a gel or a custard type.
Yeah, because it's soaked, so it would just fall apart if you stacked a tall cake. But that was a special custom order for someone up here in Julian that wanted a tiramisu.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you became this amazing baker that everybody loves. What did you do to learn all these skills? Were you born with them? Were you educated with them? Is a little bit of both? What?
I was not born with it. I want to say I really got interested in it when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. figuring out, you know, being a teenager is just so fun. You're just
figuring
so
out
all awkward and not knowing anything. But I knew that I wanted to do something with food and mm-hmm. something artsy. So I started at home. I completely just sucked. Like, everything I made was exploded in the oven. It was gross. I wouldn't even eat my own stuff. Oh.
But you were learning.
Yeah, I was learning. But that's where it started. And then I didn't give up. I just kept doing it for some mm-hmm. reason. I mm-hmm. didn't get discouraged. I got my first job at a restaurant, mm-hmm. being a line cook. I thought, this is way too hard and too hot. Like, I do not want to do this.
Yeah, line cook is a difficult job.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know how I landed that position, honestly. But they needed me, so there I was. And then, but then in that restaurant, I saw the pastry cook girls. Mm-hmm. They were all girls. They were just, everyone was like just stressing and rushing mm-hmm. and sweating in the hotline. I saw these girls back there just listening to music, having the best time decorating their cakes. And I was like, oh, that's where I want to be.
Good for you.
So when it was time for me, I already had my plan was set in motion to go to culinary school, mm-hmm. but I was undecided. I was mm-hmm. like, should I do savory or should I do pastry? Mm-hmm. But after seeing those girls in that restaurant, I'm like, I'm doing cakes. That's what I want to do.
Plus, it was in line with what you said earlier about the artistic side of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's just so much more room for creativity, mm-hmm. I feel, when you're making a cake.
Sure. Or cupcakes.
So, yeah, then I went to culinary school, and that's really where I learned everything. Mm. Like, I was trained by this French, I think he's like a third or fourth generational baker from France.
Oh, great.
So, he really taught me everything I know. To this day, I can hear his little French voice in my head.
That's so great.
Yelling at me when I do something wrong. So, that's really, that's definitely where I feel I learned everything I know. Everything from, like, breads, croissants, mm-hmm. Plated desserts, cakes.
So the presentation is just as important as the flavor.
Exactly.
I also find a lot with cake that I'm not a big cake person. I'm like a cheesecake person or a carrot cake person. But I find that cakes can look beautiful, But then you bite into them, you're like, oh, this is not a very good cake. But it really looked pretty, so fine. I'll just go stop and get a Twix bar. But I understand your cakes are amazing. So there's a talent to that, too. It's not just about making a cake look good. It's about when someone bites into it, having that same reaction that they had when they saw it, that it tastes amazing as well.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I do get really good feedback, and it never gets old because it... Sometimes I don't even realize it, but I really just need that, like, one more good feedback to get me through the day sometimes. Sure,
that's so great.
And, yeah, no, I love hearing it. And people love it, and I'm so happy that they love it because I really do try my best.
And I think it totally shows, for sure. Tell us about, because I love them, but have no idea how they're made, and I know I never say them right, the macarons.
Macarons.
Yeah, so that's a cookie.
Yes.
Okay, so take us behind the world of a macaron. Macaron.
Well, it's like the most tedious.
Is it? And then I just pop it in my mouth. And
it's kind of annoying, honestly. Not anymore, but it took me a long time to figure it out, especially because altitude affects everything.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And oven temperatures, not just oven temperatures, but room temperatures. And, you know, in Julian, it can be super cold one day and super hot the next.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little frustrating figuring it out, like getting it down, because it's something that I know how to do. But then somehow when I tried making it up here, it just wasn't happening.
You were back to your teenage years in the kitchen, exploding foods.
So, because I'm a mad scientist, just like trying to figure it out. Yeah, like
a pinch of cat's tail and the blood of my enemy. I get to see you over a colander trying to figure it all out. Give me my black hat. But they're kind of, because you have to work on making the outside like poofy, right?
Yeah, it's just the outside. Yeah. So it's the shell is just almond flour, egg whites, powdered sugar. That's really all it is, and food coloring. But somehow it took a while to figure it out. But yeah, it's supposed to be like a crunchy and spongy at the same time. Like you crunch into it, and it's just chewy and delicious and so sweet.
Amazing. Yeah, that's an amazing cookie. Now I'm going to ask you a question that I have no business asking, because if you don't make them, but do you make wedding cookies? Those little ones that are...
The white ones?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, but I've never made them in my life.
Dang it. Those are like crack.
I can learn
they
it.
They are so like crack.
I can probably learn it, but yeah, I
think they call them Italian wedding cookies. Yeah, they're like a little ball, and so that's your next learning thing. That Robin at town hall wants these Italian wedding cookies. Bring me my colander. So tell us a little bit about, if you don't mind, and if it's in line with what you want to talk about, like how you make chocolate bars. Didn't you bring me one today?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so let me describe it and I'll take a picture for the thing. But I mean, this looks like a manufactured bar, which is super great. You have this great label, the cool gold. You think you're going to get a ticket to Willy Wonka when you open it up for those. And this is praline pecan milk chocolate.
That's actually exactly what I want people to feel like when they have that bar in their hand. To just feel like they have like this classic chocolate bar that reminds them of Willy Wonka.
Well, see, then I did it. And we didn't plan that in advance, did we? No. Yeah, it's like, is there a golden ticket in here? That's great. So I just don't understand the whole process. So don't talk about it forever, but like, how do you make a chocolate bar?
Well, it goes through a tempering process, which is also a little tedious. You have to learn your temps. So the chocolate that I get is probably the best chocolate I could find. And it has to go through this tempering process. I have a chocolate machine that does it now. When I first started, I did it by hand, and it was insane. I don't know why I thought I could do so much chocolate by hand.
Right.
But yeah, so now, thankfully, now I have my little handy dandy tempering machine. It brings it up to a melting point. Then you add the seed. That's what it's called. You add more chocolate to it. And then it brings the temperature down. Then it brings it just a little higher again. And then it's perfect for using. Then you can use it.
And then you put it in the molds and that kind of thing?
Yeah. And then I have fun with the flavors. I also just, you know, they always change. And I know that it might be frustrating sometimes to people, but it's just like, I don't know, when I go look at ingredients and then I just let myself get inspired.
Right,
and,
sure.
And that's what I make, whatever I'm inspired to make.
Well, but, you know I would, I totally get that. Like, if my favorite is whatever, cherry chocolate, Walla Walla Bing Bang, and I come back to get it and you don't have it, yeah, I get it. But the other thing is, who doesn't want to consume or eat things made by someone who is as inspired as you are to make it? How can it not be amazing? Your face is just the cutest face. You got to come see this lady. She has this huge smile. She's absolutely adorable. So I just think, like, your inspiration, your enthusiasm, that's got to come through to the things that you make. And that's probably, anybody that was sitting in a room with you would be like, I have to eat whatever this woman's making because she's so excited about it. So I think maybe there is that little thing, like you said, where's my favorite? But it balances with you being excited about making and bringing new things. I think that's awesome. If you don't mind me saying.
Oh,
so.
Of course. No, I think that's true. You can definitely see, if you walk into our store, you'll see what I was excited about that week.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, so that praline pecan milk chocolate, that one's sticking around. Like, that one I love making, and everyone loves it, and I love it. It's
so praline it's a staple.
Pecan and milk chocolate. Yeah, it's just right. So... sweet and crunchy and nutty.
Awesome. Now, let me ask you, because you were talking about the machine, and, you know, you have a little store here in Julian. Like, how many of these chocolate bars do you produce in a week? Or do you make them every week?
I really do try to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I'm too busy with, like, a wedding cake
sure.
or, like, a lot of cakes, uh-huh. I don't get to do as many as I want uh-huh. sometimes. But I try, I don't know, to at least get like 4 dozen out for mm-hmm. each weekend. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's a lot when we're only making chocolate, we get a lot more done.
Sure,
we can
sure.
probably even do up to 100, but it's like very small batches.
Sure.
Like I said, like 4 dozen to 100, mm-hmm. like it's not that much.
Yeah. And I imagine that they're gone by Sunday when you close the doors.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll probably have like one or two left on
yeah.
the shelves.
You're like, good. I can take this one home and eat it myself. Yeah. And then the macarons. Is that something you have every weekend as well?
Yes. I also try my best to mm-hmm. have them every week. And the flavors also do change. Mm-hmm. Sometimes now, honestly, for the macarons, though, at this point, it's more of a supply issue.
Right.
That depends what, you know, that really right now is. What the designing factor on what flavors we're
sure.
going to have that weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's everybody's thing right now. What's going on with the supply chain?
Yeah.
Let's talk about when you're open. Yeah. So people know how to visit you when they come to Julian.
Of course. We've been consistently open Thursday through Sunday mm-hmm. For a while now. Mm-hmm. 11:30 to 5:30 Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
Sometimes you might find us open on a Monday, but I will not.
Right.
You know.
Do not hold me to that.
Exactly.
Right.
Just yeah. for sure, Thursday through Sunday, 11:30
mm-hmm.
to
5:30. Great. Yeah, I understand why Monday would actually be a good idea, Monday morning especially, because people who had your stuff over the weekend that were staying here, and they when they leave, let's stop by that chocolate shop and get some stuff and bring it home to Aunt Martha, you know, that kind of thing. So think about that. Monday mornings probably
yeah,
would be your,
think about it.
Yeah, it would be your best bet. So what else should we tell our listeners about, say it again, the name of your shop?
Juliantla Chocolate.
Juliantla Chocolate.
Well, the little fun fact about Juliantla is that's not like a name that I came up with. It's actually the name of a town in mm-hmm. Guerrero, Mexico. Mm-hmm. My mom is from Guerrero. So when I was trying to figure out a name for the store, I was like, should I just be like Julian Chocolate?
Uh-huh.
That's short and simple. Everyone gets it.
Right.
Everything else in Julian is called Julian something.
Right.
And then this song just started. I just remembered this song that's called Juliantla because the singer who sings it is from Juliantla Guerrero.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I found it. This
yeah.
is it.
And sometimes that hits you like that. Get it. Yeah.
And I knew that it was going to be a little hard to pronounce for some people. I totally understand. Or for a lot of people.
Right. For me.
And, you know, some people, like, really don't, you know, they still have curiosity about it because it, you know, but just ask me. Ask me and I'll tell you
yeah.
the story. It's Juliantla. And some people love to hear the story. So that's also cute when people ask.
Yeah. That's really great.
And they understand the meaning behind it.
Yeah. So for those listening, I started thinking about like special occasions. So coming up, for example, is St. Patrick's Day. And everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. My kids are half Irish. My husband's Irish. So do you do stuff for like in the shop for
like
the
seasonal stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I do. So you'll probably find something green.
Sure. I'll do something green. There you go.
Maybe green cupcakes or Robin, you got me. I haven't really thought about it, what I should make, but...
Maybe the green macarons or something, because that's the food coloring, right?
I'm thinking like an Irish cream cupcake, though.
See? Look at... There you go. Yeah, cool. And then there's, you know, Valentine's Day, which I saw that you did. You had really cute
Valentine's Day is my favorite. Yeah, it's so my cute. Favorite holiday. It's my favorite because of the stuff I get to do. Sure. I don't actually, like, really celebrate it at home because my husband's also in the food industry. So we don't really, like, celebrate holidays on the actual days because mm-hmm. we're working.
We're busy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I love Valentine's Day. I like to go all out.
And people can go right now. It's only, you know, a month past to your Instagram page and see some of the stuff that you posted for Valentine's Day so they can see, so they can make plans for next year.
Exactly.
Because I imagine that when people come up here, there's another thing we should talk about to remind people or encourage people. Say they have an Airbnb or a hotel room, it doesn't matter what they have, a cottage, and they want to do something special in the cottage for their loved one when they get there. And that's not always for a girl. Women, we can do that for our men too. So that, I imagine, do you get those kind of calls? And if you don't, we should be
good. Actually, not that many, because I think I haven't really
offered to spread the word
as a service, but I do get inquiries to deliver stuff to cabins and Airbnbs and hotels. And honestly, I love it, because for me, since I don't get to do that every day, I love just being able to do that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to drive somewhere new today. Yeah. Let's check out this cabin. Oh my God, it's so cute.
Right.
They're all really cute.
Well, and that's one of the cool things, too, for you when you do that, is then you learn about the other businesses, and then someone asks you, hey, we want to come back. What, you know, do you know a place that we should stay? And then you have that experience. Yeah. So it just grows you as a business owner and a resource for the people who come here. So I think that's a really great idea for people who come up, you know, someone's bringing their wife up for their birthday or a girl's day, or, you know, I my husband is a Snickers fan, you know, we're so simple, Snickers, yeah. You know, come up with some way to surprise them in the room. I think that's a really good thing that people could think about. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So let's recap. Chocolate bars, macarons. Let's say it like, it's like how I say croissant, wah-wah. So the macarons, cupcakes, custom cakes, dessert-themed gifts, candles or soaps that are themed with dessert. I'm assuming they smell like, give me an example.
We have actually a hot cocoa candle that's made here in Julian, actually.
That's very cool.
We even have like the strawberry cheesecake slice soap.
See, there you go. Absolutely. So those make a great little themed gift that people can come by and see you. So once again, you're on B Street in the KO Corral, Thursday through Sunday, 11:30 to 5:30. I was going to say 4:30. I was going to get you dead in the last hour of your day. I'm so sorry. So I highly encourage people to come by and meet you, see your enthusiasm, buy all of your great treats, because you're just an absolute pleasure. I thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is fun. You're adorable. Bye.